morning. Today's reading is from 1 John chapter 3, beginning at verse 19, to chapter 4 and verse 6. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood.
Okay, I've entitled this sermon, Don't Kid Yourself, or anybody else for that matter. Don't let anybody kid you, and don't kid yourself. John 3, 19 to chapter 4, verse 6. This is not an easy passage. It is a complex passage. But I'm going to try and break it down into approximately 20 minutes. Nick doesn't believe I can do it. But anyway, we'll see. Okay. Yes, this is modern idea, or this modern... Am I hitting the right bit here? Please. Something I came across very recently is FOMO. Fear of missing out. Apparently, young people have FOMO. They are walking home from school and the kids that they've just been talking to, they text because they think something is going to happen. I can understand that. I like to be involved in everything. FOMO. But I've changed it to FOMU, which is fear of messing up. We have FOMU as well as FOMO. I remember reading a book about medical history, and one man died because he pricked his finger on a rose. It got infected and he died. Modern medical science has cured almost every disease. There are very few diseases today. When you look at the diseases that you could have died of in the 19th century, it was many, many different diseases. But today, we've cured so many. And technology and science has done this for us. We've got to thank God for that. But the problem that we've found, more than anything else, that is very difficult to actually cure, is mental and emotional dis-ease. It is a modern Western, especially Western, problem. And there's very few answers. We can have counselling, there are drugs that you can change your mentality. But mental and emotional sickness are very, very common. It's a common experience for today, and especially for young people today. So, guilt, fear, anxiety, all of these things. If you watch the news, there will be report after report coming out saying that young people are anxious, people feel guilty, people feel fearful, and it weighs you down. And there you've got the guy, he's not exactly doing press-ups with books on his back. He's trying to get across a ravine with a great big weight. Guilt, fear, anxiety are common. Now, John, in this book, has been talking in the last few chapters about the problem of sin. And this is where Christians find a lot of their guilt, fear, and anxiety is hooked upon whether they're going to mess up or not. FOMO. I'm not copywriting it. You can use it as much as you like. Just do footnote saying Paul Davis told you this. Oops. Christians, John says, will not continue in sin. And you will prove that by loving your brother and sister. Sin is serious. But Jesus has died for all sin. Sin of the whole world. John has already said this. Jesus Christ did not die just for you lot. He died for the whole world. All sin is dealt with. There's no sin that's not dealt with. Jesus took it upon himself. We either choose to take that forgiveness or we choose to reject it. That's the issue here. The issue is not whether we have sinned or not. It is whether we accept God's forgiveness. It is serious, very serious indeed. And Christians can continue, won't continue in sin, but their sin is actually very, very serious. And we can become a very bad witness because of sin. Now, there is real guilt and there is imagined guilt. Now, this is where you saw your own K. Jerome. Has anybody ever read Three Men in a Boat? One of the funniest books I have ever read. I fall about crying laughing when I read it. The Adventures of J. Harris George and Not Forgetting Montmorency the Dog. And J. at the beginning, and I guess it's Jerome K. Jerome, he reads a medical dictionary and he finds out that he's got everything from ague to zymosis. But he doesn't have housemaid's knee. And he wondered why he didn't have that. What's wrong with housemaid's knee? I haven't got housemaid's knee. Probably something to do with the fact he didn't work. Okay, so he gets a prescription from the doctor and he goes to the pharmacy and the pharmacist says, I can't fulfill this. He goes, you're a pharmacist, aren't you? And then he reads it and he says, 1 pound of beef steak with a pint of bitter every 6 hours. I wouldn't recommend that. 10-mile walk every morning. Go to bed sharp at 11 and don't fill your head with things you don't understand. That was the cure for Jay's hypochondria. Now, we have real, but we have also imagined guilt. And as Christians, John has already said in his gospel that Jesus came that we should have life and life in all its fullness. Now, if we are constantly guilty and anxious about sin, we can't be. Sorry, I've gone. If we're troubled by an accusing heart, by others accusing you, and this is the passage for you to listen to this passage, what John has to say to comfort us about these issues. So 1 John 3:19-4:6. First of all, John talks about the accusing heart. If your heart accuses you of doing wrong, then he talks about accusing spirits. If people from outside of you accuse you of doing wrong, this passage is for you. We are children of God.
and we have overcome because of what God has done. We do not need to live bound to sin. So John sets this up in verses 19 and 20. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we have set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. That's what John says at the beginning of this passage. God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. Our heart is deceitful. Jeremiah 17 says, the human heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? Well, there is somebody who can understand it, and that's God. He understands the human heart. But the human heart will accuse us of doing wrong. The human heart, our own flesh, Paul talks about the flesh. Remember that phrase, the flesh, that Paul talks about? Our sinful nature. It's not this flesh. It's the sinful nature. Our sinful nature in our mind. Now, the word heart, cardia, in Greek, doesn't mean just your brain. It means your whole will, your feelings, your thinking, everything you are, everything you consider. That will is beyond cure and will accuse you. But the Lord knows the heart. And a couple of verses going on. I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind. Romans 8, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind knows the mind of the Spirit, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. God knows us, in other words, and he knows that our heart does accuse us. So this is the problem. We can set our hearts at rest because God is greater and he knows everything. I've highlighted it there in yellow. The problem that we've got of our heart is resolved because God is greater. And what are the results of this? Well, our hearts can be at rest. That's what verse 19 says. St. Augustine, an early church father, the 3rd century, he said, You have made for us yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until our heart finds rest in you. That's our origin and our destiny, to find rest in him. Now, remember, the guy who's writing this is Jewish. So for him, the word rest, irene in Greek, is shalom in Hebrew. That's being in a great wide space, being able to breathe. That's what God wants. This is a man, John, who's writing, who was the one at the Last Supper who rested his head upon Jesus' chest. Remember that? So he's got experience of this. He knows what it's like. So I try to find a really serious, interesting graphic about being at rest. And that's the one I came up with. That's my idea of rest. On a beach somewhere. Way! Having a good time. Our hearts find rest in God. So the answer to our accusing... The answer to our accusing and deceiving hearts is to trust in God. Now, this is the message that John's been banging on about through the whole of this letter. And this series we've called Christ at the Center, because in 1 John, Christ is at the center. And we're continuing to talk about discipleship, because a disciple's life has Christ at the center. So Christ is the one who can tell us our guilt and our innocence. We have confidence before God. We can be confident and unashamed. Remember in chapter 2, verse 28, he says that you don't sin so you can be confident and unashamed at the coming of the Lord. So confidence, rest, not being ashamed. Excuse me, I'm going to cough. I say that so Sean turns it down and I don't deafen you all. So we can have confidence in him because God is greater and we do what pleases God. That's the consequences of binding ourselves to God when our hearts condemn us. So actually, we're free to live the life that God intended. And that's the point. If we're going to be a witness to the world of what it is to know Jesus Christ, if we're constantly miserable about our sin, how can we do that? I used to say, now this is totally out of date, Ricky Martin did not live the Vida Loca. We can. We can live totally without guilt, without shame, without anxiety. Because Jesus Christ has paid for our sins and we can receive from God with open hands all that God wants to give us. Everything that he wants to give us, we simply open our hands and receive it. You can't receive something with closed hands. You can only receive them with open hands. And that we do what he commands. Now, what is his command? This is my command, that you believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and you love one another. Belief and love, which comes full circle back in verse 24. We know that we live in him because of the Holy Spirit, who ministers to us that confidence, that unashamed life, that we do not need to fear, we do not need to have guilt in front of God because it's already dealt with. Now that's our accusing heart, but it might be simple if that was all the problem that we had. But we don't. We have accusing spirits. Now verse 20, I'm going to cough again. So you get in the end of my cough. I'm not got COVID, don't worry. So the Holy Spirit witnesses to the fact where we belong. No, I'm all right, I'll survive. So how do we tell the difference between the spirits and the spirits? Not all spirits are the same, John says. There are lying spirits through false prophets. Now you notice that John puts together spirits and prophets, false prophets. He's talking about this interaction between the demonic and the human. And quite often you've got that interaction that God, that the devil uses human beings to accuse us. We don't dismiss it as our feelings because they are accusing us. And the devil uses these to bring us down, to make us feel like we're no good, to make us guilty, to make us feel guilty, anxious, worried, fearful. And that's his big purpose. That's his master plan, to bite and to make you feel bad. Great plan, isn't it? That's all it is. And that is what we often as Christians suffer. Not only internally, but externally. And how do we know? Well, because those who deny Christ's divinity and humanity are those false spirits. And that goes back, of course, right to the beginning of what we were talking about. We got two problems in John. The two heresies that were emerging at the time, Gnosticism and Docetism. And those two things, John is saying, are the dangers. Because if Christ was not human, Christ cannot sympathize with us. If he's not divine, then he can't pull us out of the mire in which we've got ourselves into. So to believe in Jesus Christ as the God-man, as philosophers say, then we can be confident. Why? Because we have overcome. We have overcome. We've overcome the world, not because of ourselves, but because those two facts. God is greater than our accusing hearts. And he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. So the answer is very, very simple from a very complex passage. Bind yourself to God. If your heart accuses you of doing wrong, believe in God. If other people accuse you of doing wrong, believe in God. So it comes full circle once again to the spirit of truth and the spirit of lies. We recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood through what they understand by who Christ is. This is totally centered upon Jesus Christ. And our love and our constant binding ourselves. I want to use this word, cleave ourselves to. That's an old word, isn't it? To cleave yourself. It has that dual meaning, doesn't it? You can cleave something in two, or you can cleave by clinging to. But we cleave ourselves to God because he is greater than he who is in the world. So the conclusion to our heart problems, bind yourself to God. We can live without fear, without shame, and receive from God all that he wants to give us and that what we need. We believe in God and we love our brothers and sisters. And John will come to talk about this in the next passage about loving our brothers and sisters. So if we sin, we can confess our sin. And he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Declared innocent, not by some judge wearing a wig in the law courts, but declared righteous, just by God himself. So we need to keep short accounts. Sorry, I think I put that on the wrong. So this week, keep short accounts. Make a habit of confessing your sin. Not so that God can say, you see, you did it. When God says to us, I want you to confess your sin, it's an invitation back to his loving arms. Not to put us down, but to build us up. To comfort us, to love us. So to confess our sin consciously, is it part of your prayer life? Or do we go straight to the shopping list? Lord, I need you to do this, I need you to do that, I need you to do the other. Like he doesn't know. We confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Bind yourself to God. And recognize your sin is totally and utterly forgiven. And you can rest in his presence and receive from him. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and live out that love for God in love for others. Let's pray. Lord God, we confess that many times we do, as Nick was saying, we grab onto our guilt and we don't want you to let you have that guilt. We prefer to have it ourselves. Forgive us, Lord, that we do that. We confess that sometimes we're more comfortable with our sin than without it. Help us to lift our eyes to you, open our hands to you, to rest in you, to receive the love that you have for us so that we can love one another. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.